The baby has finally fallen asleep, and you can now sit down and relax. You leave the bedroom door ajar, just in case the baby wakes up. You sit down and relax when you notice some movement coming from the bedroom, from the corner of your eye. You get up to investigate and slowly open the door. The figure of a woman dressed in a long white gown suddenly appears before you and walks across the room. She then disappears. Welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. I'm your host, Clem Dalloway, and this episode is part two of Haunted Redditch, a collection of ghost stories that I've collected from my hometown over the last 20 years. In this episode, I'll be covering the areas of Headless Cross and Smallwood. But before this, I'd like to announce a true crime podcast that I've came across recently. If you like your true crime, clear, straight to the story, and easy to listen to, then Murder at Bedtime could be the podcast for you. Lyndon takes not so well-known murder cases, researches it as much as he possibly can, removes all the boring background detail, then like a scrapyard crusher, he squashes it and condenses it into a 10 to 20 minute, no frills, waffle-free, true crime bedtime story. So plump up the pillows, pull up the duvet, and settle down to Murder at Bedtime with Lyndon. Headless Cross is in the southwest of Redditch. The origin of the name has been lost in time, but it first appeared in a manuscript in 1275 as Headley, and was written as Headless Cross in the 19th century. Some historians believe that there was a clearing in Saxon times, and it was named after the chieftain Hedda. Others believe that the area was named after a farm, where Gaynor Drive is today. Another thought is that the name came from a cross which once stood in the area, which may have been taken down during some religious conflict. One theory suggests that the name is from the reference to an old folktale of a headless horseman who rides through the local roads. The band Black Sabbath released an album titled Headless Cross, which included a song with the same title. It's claimed that it was based on a true story where people went up to the hill of the Headless Cross, where they prayed to God for help during the Black Death, but no one survived. In 1995, a young family moved into a house on Fecknum Road in Headless Cross, until they couldn't cope with the many supernatural disturbances and they had to move out. At first, it was just every now and then, when they would see someone in the living room. It would only be a quick glimpse, and the figure would then disappear. It didn't even stay long enough for them to be able to describe what it looked like. Over a few weeks, the figure started to appear in the attic bedroom, and the kitchen too, but now it was manifesting for longer. They described the apparition as a very tall man dressed in black, wearing a wide-brimmed hat. One thing that really stood out was the buckles on his shoes and his belt. He would appear to stand still for just a few seconds, staring at them with an evil-looking grin. A few more weeks went by, and he started appearing more frequently, but now he would be walking around the house. Two other apparitions started to appear in the living room and kitchen too. A man and a woman, both dressed in ragged clothing. They would just stand in the corner of the rooms for a few seconds and then disappear. One night after the children were put to bed, the couple decided to have an early night. They made their way upstairs to the attic room and got into bed. Within minutes, they heard a noise coming from the corner of the room. So they put the lamp on to see what the cause was. As they looked towards the ensuite bathroom, the tall dark man, in dark clothes, walked out and stared at them as he went down the stairs. He had the usual horrible grin on his face that terrified both of them. Seconds later, there was a loud crashing sound coming from the living room, which sounded like someone had pulled the wall cabinets over. The children were woken up due to the noise, and their dad rushed down the stairs to see what was going on. The lights were flashing on and off, and the curtains were being blown about as if the window was open and a gale force wind was coming through the house. He looked around the room to find everything intact, but the loud crashing was still continuing. The ghostly figure was walking across the living room and towards the kitchen, where everything just suddenly stopped and the man disappeared. They got out of the house and stayed at one of their parents' houses for the rest of the night. The next day, they visited the local church and asked for guidance from the vicar, who arranged to visit the house and give it a blessing. They went back to the house that day, and all was calm. 3 days later, the vicar knocked on the door, and when they answered, the tall man in dark clothes rushed past and went upstairs. The vicar didn't see this, but he entered the house and started the blessing ceremony. They went into each room, and he made the sign of the cross on each doorframe, and then shook holy water and said a prayer. When they finally got to the attic bedroom, the vicar stood by the ensuite and made the sign of the cross and said a prayer, and they all finished by saying Amen. Straight away, they heard a loud whisper saying Amen, Amen, Amen. 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 They all looked at each other in shock, and the vicar rushed down the stairs, saying that he had to leave because he had an appointment. But they could see the shock and fear on his face. They didn't experience anything else until around a month later, when the figure started to appear again. But this time, they moved house. Originally, the area known as Smallwood was called Upper Ipsley. It was named after the Smallwood brothers, Edwin and William, who funded the local Smallwood Hospital and the almshouses on Mount Street. The ghost of a lady dressed in white is a common sighting all over England, usually associated with a person whose life ended in tragic circumstances. There have been two sightings from two different people at different times on Millsborough Road in Smallwood. One woman who lived in a house on Millsborough Road in the 1980s was looking out of the bedroom window one night when she noticed a woman on her elderly neighbour's garden. She described her as wearing a long white gown and carrying a basket on her shoulder. She said she looked young, but it was difficult to see properly as she was misty. She walked up the garden path and over to the lawn. She made the motions as if she was picking flowers. After a few minutes, she disappeared. The next day, she knocked on her neighbour's door to ask if they'd seen anything, but they hadn't. A family who lived in a house on Millsborough Road between 2007 and 2013 experienced much paranormal activity in their time there. It all started after a few weeks of moving into the property, where they would hear footsteps along the floorboards of the hallway. Being very sceptical about the supernatural, they just put it down to the pipes from the central heating system and being an old house. Until one day, the lady of the house saw the apparition of a woman with long flowing hair and wearing a white gown, slowly walking through the kitchen with a floating motion. This would happen on a regular basis in all parts of the house, but mainly in the kitchen. They said the ghost never felt threatening at all. In fact, they said that they felt a gentle presence from her. After moving into a house on South Street, a family started to hear heavy footsteps across the bathroom floor, sometimes running, sometimes walking. The bathroom was a downstairs extension and was connected to the kitchen. The man of the house hated going into the bathroom, as he said that he always had a sense of dread whenever he entered the room. They were sat in the living room one evening when they heard the heavy footsteps in the bedroom above, which was the baby son's room, which contained only a cot and a single bed. The footsteps were so heavy that they made the lampshade move in the living room. When they went upstairs to investigate, the bed had been moved into the middle of the room. They would often hear the footsteps running up and down the stairs. They put that down to the teenage boy who lived next door, until one day when it happened, they realised that the neighbours were on holiday. There would be times when she would shout her husband and he would call her, and a voice would respond that were neither of them, or it would mimic them. One evening, they could hear growling coming from the baby monitor. When they went into the room, they heard the voice of a little girl talking, coming from the corner of the bedroom, but there was no one there. The husband bought a voice recording device and left it in the baby's bedroom, but every time the batteries would drain after about 20 minutes, but it would work fine everywhere else in the house. Other things started to happen in the house too. Shadows walking on the stairs, things moving around the house when no one had touched them, and the cats used to attack things that were unseen to them. After doing some research on the history of the road, they found that during World War II, a German bomber was aiming for one of the nearby factories. It missed its target and hit a house, killing a father and his children. There is now a park in memorial to the people who died in the houses that were hit. The amount of paranormal activity that has been experienced in the almshouses is breathtaking, with many people reporting the exact same phenomena. One young lady lived in the almshouses between 2012 and 2013, when she had her first baby. After a few months of living there, all had been quiet until one day when she was feeding her baby and singing to him as he ate. She suddenly heard a loud shush coming from the serving hatch, which leads to the kitchen that was behind her. That same night, a large cupboard in the kitchen kept opening. She thought it was just a fault with the cupboard and carried on to bed. That night, she was lay asleep in bed when she was suddenly woken up by something that she couldn't see, but she could feel it was there, watching her. She couldn't move, because whatever it was held her down and strong. The next day, she told some friends what had been going on. They also lived in the almshouses, and they said they'd also been having strange experiences. One of them said that her little boy had seen an angry man looking through the window, and another said that she'd witnessed the faceless man many times who stands in the corner of her bedroom. Various phenomena, including being scratched, touched, hearing voices and footsteps, kept happening at various times of day and night. As the time went on, the eeriness of the flat seemed to get stronger. As she was watching TV one night, she left the bedroom door open slightly, as her son was asleep in there. She noticed something, coming from the corner of her eye, move in the bedroom. She got up to have a look what it was. When she opened the door wider, there was a woman, dressed in a white gown, walking across the bedroom. Things carried on until the day she moved out. I posted this story on my local Ghosts of Redditch page on Facebook and received an amazing response, with many people reporting the exact same things. One man said that he used to live over the road from the almshouses and that he would hear strange noises at night as he walked past. A lady who once lived there claimed that she would see a man in the bedroom and hallway who would stand with his arms folded, staring with a stern look. Another said that she lived in a flat there, and her daughter used to refuse to go to the bedroom to play, and kept saying there was a man in there. In the same flat, another woman who lived there for 4 years said that she saw a man in the front bedroom on numerous occasions. In the 1980s and 90s, the almshouses had two wardens. There was a married couple who lived on the site when it was a care home for elderly people. Their granddaughter said that her grandmother would often see a woman dressed in a white gown. And her grandfather never believed in the paranormal, until one night he woke up to use the toilet and saw a little boy standing in the bedroom. Thank you for listening to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. You can find more information about episodes on the website ghosttales.co.uk. And I have a Facebook page, facebook.com/ghosttalespodcast. You can also find me on Instagram at ghosttalespodcast. This podcast will be out monthly and is available on most platforms. All music, research, writing, production, art and sound effects are all my own work. From this month, anybody who doesn't enjoy the podcast with the music and sound effects, I'm also releasing another version, which is just my voice.